The following podcast is brought to you by the new AT&T.
Welcome to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. In this week's podcast, we chat with Josh Holloway, Jorge Garcia, and Daniel Day Kim about their experiences on the set filming the episode Trisha Tanaka is Dead. And later in the podcast, we sit down with the editor of the official Lost magazine, Paul Terry. He'll let us in on some of the exclusive scoop they have in their upcoming issue, due on shelves in April. And finally, at the end of the podcast, we have a special preview of next week's episode, Enter 7-7. It seems Saeed's discovered a curious building in the middle of the forest, one that has a satellite dish. Most of what goes on the island is dramatic and, well, deathly. However, every once in a while, the actors get a storyline that really lets them cut loose. Hurley's little adventure with the VW bus was just such an example.
What are you out here for? Watch him crash and burn?
Into that shotgun.
Well, it's your funeral.
Come on, let's give them their ride.
You sure you want to do this?
Picture your death.
It was great. All that stuff around the van was a lot of fun. The thing that was hard, though, was getting the dog to pick up the arm the same way every time. Because the dog went off. They gave Madison the arm to play with at home for a while so that it became, like, no different than her tennis ball that she's obsessed with. And so they would throw the arm, and she'd come and dragging it in. And it was always like, okay, we need the arm facing this way to match the other shot. And she couldn't get that in her head, how they wanted the arm, and we just kind of like just got to keep doing it and cross our fingers. Eventually we got it. You know, just the whole working with Daniel or pulling the body out, I thought it was great. And it's a very funny piece.
Totally. Let's check it out. Dude,
Roger was on a beer run.
Si c'è coneggia.
Oh man, I suck at charades. You want to what?
Anya, Anya. Si c'è coneggio.
Oh, you want to take Roger out?
Ben, paro seoja.
And turn over.
Cool. I understand.
The whole episode for me, it was one of the most fun I've had on any episode of the show. Just the camaraderie between the guys was really great. And, you know, not only had the characters not seen each other in a while, but the actors hadn't worked together in a while. So it was nice to kind of catch up and work together and have fun in the process. And, you know, and both with Jorge and with Josh, you know, I have a good working relationship as well as personal relationship. And, you know, when we're sitting back having a beer or a fake beer, you know, it's not hard to pretend. Sometimes we have to imagine a lot as actors, but that day we didn't have to do any imagining. Jorge looked like he was having so much fun behind the wheel of the car, and Dom was hooting and hollering, and we were just standing there, you know, having a great time.
Even though the actors did get to drive around the van for a few takes, a lot of the more dangerous things were left to the stunt crew. And as Josh Holloway pointed out, those guys are crazy.
And that VW bus, I couldn't believe they got that thing running. It was just a shell of a vehicle, and the thing is running like a charm. German engineering. They can certainly build a car. But those, and the drivers, stunt drivers driving it down that hill, were nuts. I mean, normally you go down the hill, you kind of use your brakes, but they accelerated the whole way down the hill. I was like, it's gonna flip. And no, it didn't flip. They were actually, it seemed like they were trying to flip it. That was a blast. And beer, we finally found beer.
Dude, that beer's been sitting there since before Rocky 3, maybe even 2. It's probably poisoned by now.
Skeletor seems to like it. Bottoms up.
It's not cool, dude. That guy had a mom, a family, friends, oh, and a name. Not Skeletor, it's Roger Workman.
It's work, man, you blockhead.
That's his job. He was a Dharma janitor. You know, that was a lot of fun playing those scenes, and we actually stole one real beer. They don't know, but me and Dan were like, let's go over here and raid the prop truck and stick a label on a real one. But we did have one real beer. But that was a lot of fun. Those scenes were a lot of fun.
Though the episode was a breath of levity, Josh was acutely aware of the emotional current underpinning the episode for his character. In other words, Sawyer misses Kate.
That's the line you've got to play. It's like, well, got my beer, I got everything, I'm safe again, but I don't have my girl. You know, so, and he's worried. So, drowned it with beer.
Unfortunately for Sawyer, Kate's mind seems to be elsewhere. As we saw at the end of the episode, she's a woman on a mission. Impossible? Maybe. We'll have a clip with more on that coming up after this exclusive interview with the brains behind the official Lost magazine, editor Paul Terry. Welcome to the official Lost podcast. We're here today with editor Paul Terry, who is in charge of the, strangely enough, official Lost magazine. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Chris.
If you could start off by talking a little bit, how long has the magazine been around? Have you guys been around since the beginning of season one?
No, we launched in October of 2005, and that was coinciding with the season two premiere episode. So we've been around for coming up to 18 months.
18 months. So give us the inside scoop. Like, how often do you guys update stories? How often are you talking to the cast? Do you have, like, a straight, do you, like, can you pick up the phone and just talk to Jorge Garcia at any given moment?
Well, the fantastic thing about the official magazine is that the cast and crew are heavily involved with every single issue. Damon Lindelof answers fan questions every issue, and the producers are very kind and very supportive with supplying us with so much exclusive material like concept art and, you know, storyboards and sequences. And it's the greatest access we could you know have from a show is in this magazine. We're very appreciative of the support.
Well, it sounds like you said you have exclusive insight into the show and into the inner workings. But has that changed, or has the magazine evolved since it's began? Since we, like, when you started, was it kind of like, oh, here's a press release, go write a magazine?
No. Well, the great thing about from the get go, ABC and everybody from the Lost production office have been intrinsically involved with the evolution and the content of every single issue. So we were very fortunate to launch very strongly. Issue one had some amazing interviews with you know, the lead characters, Matthew Fox and Evangeline Lilly and Dominic Monaghan and Emily DeRaven. And then we had fantastic contact with the production office about the design of the monster, the sound effects behind the monster. So what we wanted to do with the magazine was, instead of being, you know, a normal fan magazine for a show, we wanted to kind of be a bit like DVD special features, but in print, so that we had this, you know, very myopic look at the show, very detailed, getting really close to the show, and just giving the fans something very, very special that we wanted to be like an extension of the program.
So you mentioned the special effects, the sounds behind the monster. What are some of the things that you guys discovered in your research that you put in the articles?
Well, it's amazing that the amount of layers and, you know, all the different sounds that they took to incorporate them into the monster sound effects, which everybody discusses being slightly mechanical and part biological. And I know that Brian Burke, one of the executive producers on the program, was telling us all about the evolution of that and how heavily involved he was with that, like the ticker tape sound, which everybody knows is from the New York cab, the receipt from the cab. We basically have taken the magazine on a journey in the same way the viewers have gone on a journey with the show. So by the time we hit season three, we adjusted the design of the magazine a little and incorporated more others-related sections. Like, we have this really cool section called Namaste, which we pose some questions to the fans, and we get a little bit closer to the underbelly of the others' world.
Now, speaking of that, what has been your favorite article to do thus far? Whether it was it about a stunt or a cast member?
I think that I'm always blown away by the kind of exclusives that we get, and I think that one of my very favorite recent exclusives was that really shocking sequence with Echo, where the second encounter with the smoke monster. You know, we asked some questions and we said, you know, it's a really amazing sequence. Would it be possible to get some of the artwork, which was originally designed before they conceived, the sequence and before they even shot the sequence. And of course, being amazing as they are, you know, they said, yeah, sure, and provided these incredible drawings of how they originally perceived, you know, capturing that amazing sequence. And that's in the latest issue, and the fans really love that stuff.
So did you have any questions at that time where you're like, okay, guys, really, what does Look North mean, you know?
Oh, we have so many questions all the time, and a bit like when some of my writers chat to the actors. Unfortunately, as we all know, the actors don't really know what's coming up on the show, and so Adam and Eddie, who do the Unearthed Treasures, which is like our exclusive news section at the beginning of every issue, they're very good at teasing little things which are coming up on the show. They might say, maybe keep an eye on Locke in this sequence, or maybe keep an eye on this location, and that's really fun because it gives the fans a little tidbit to be keeping an eye on.
What do you think of season 3 thus far? Have a fair amount of questions been answered to the fans, and what are some of the things that, you know, that might be coming down the pipe that you can tell us about?
Well, I think that this season so far, I think, has been a very dark season, but I think that's been a really good thing for the show. I think it's become really interlocked with what the others are about and what their MO is on the island. I know the fans went crazy when that Desmond episode aired. We had so many people emailing in and saying, oh my word, you know, so did he go back in time? And of course, when Damon confirmed that on the podcast with you guys, that yep, he did go back in time. I can reveal something actually that Damon answered in his Q&A section in the magazine recently. One of the fans was they said, you know, I'm being a little bit naughty by asking this, but is there a chance that we're going to see a little bit more of what happened to Walt when he was abducted? And Damon's answer was, well, you know, he didn't specify this particular season, but all he said was to the fan was, well, you haven't seen the last of Michael and Walt. So straight from the co-creator's mouth, maybe we're going to see some more of Michael and Walt. His answers in the magazine are always absolutely fantastic. You know, they're either extremely funny, extremely entertaining, and within the humor, he does let little things go, little teases like that, like, you know, keep an eye out, you know, Michael and Walt, you're going to be seeing some more of them. So that's it's very exciting for us to get things like that in the magazine.
Well, I know here at the podcast, we also get fan questions, and we've seen some very interesting theories and questions come down the pipe. But what about you guys going off of that Desmond episode? What's one of the most interesting theories that you've had come across your desk recently?
I really like this idea about time repeating. There's a lot of fans saying, well, okay, if he went back in time, has Desmond gone back in time several times, but he doesn't actually know it? You know, is he going to have a trigger later on in the show where he remembers he went back again, and he went back again, and then he changed something else? And that's, I like that idea a lot, and I like the idea of that some kind of dimensional shift or something really out there like that, because I think Lost can handle the weird side very well. So I'd like to see that explored a little more. A popular one is the fathers. I know everybody talks about, you know, all the characters having a, you know, very hard time with their parents. And a lot of fans have this really interesting theory that actually the dads are behind everything. Almost like the dads are all connected to the Hansa Foundation, that they know everything that's going on the island. So that's I like that a lot.
That would be very interesting. And of course, we just had Cheech Marin in a recent episode too, so we can add him to the list of bad dads out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
One that I'm most fascinated by is the four-toed statue. What do fans think about that? Is that Homer's foot? I mean, what are they saying?
I think they have talked about they sort of got inspired by something that Damon said in one of the issues about how treat the island like an archaeological dig. You know, there are many layers of time and many layers of different events that have happened on the island. And I think a lot of fans took that and ran with that and said, okay, well, maybe the island has been around for, you know, maybe hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. So if you saw the complete statue, what would that statue be? Would it be something related to Greek mythology, or, you know, some kind of maybe like an idol of a god or some kind like that? So, I mean, I love the idea of the island being this incredibly historical ancient realm, which, you know, has like a magnetic anomaly, but has probably many other mysteries, which maybe that's what they're there for. Maybe that, you know, the others and the Dharma Initiative were interested in actually exploring the island's terrain and finding out all the secrets of the island. To what end, you know, who knows?
So with that in mind, what episode should fans go back and watch again from this season, in your opinion?
I think that the two key ones are episode three, Further Instructions, the lock-centric episode, when he went to rescue Echo from the polar bear. I think that there were a huge amount of clues and secrets in his hallucination sequence with Boone. I think that, I mean, I've watched it a few times, and it's more in the dialogue. I'm really interested in how Boone communicates with Locke in that sequence. Things that he says, you know, he says, like, don't worry about them, they'll be okay. And he says about Desmond, oh, you know, he's only out for himself. And I think there's a lot of, you know, maybe some red herrings in there as well, but I think there's a lot of clues. And we can't not mention again episode 8, The Flashes Before Your Eyes, incredible episode. And, you know, many people have written in and said, you know what, that's actually my favourite Lost episode to date. You know, that's it. So I think that, you know, again, in the extended flashback or the extended time travel sequence with Desmond, there are, I think, a lot of clues within that that you could maybe take and connect to lots of other themes which Lost keeps bringing up and presenting to its fans.
So, Paul, before we let you go, I understand that the next issue, issue 10, is coming out on April 10th, and that there are some interesting things that you guys have in store for them. Can you give us a little bit of a... Come on, give some up for the podcast.
Okay. Well, everybody talks about, you know, Kate, Jack, Sawyer, that conundrum, that, you know, the love triangle. We have Kate and Sawyer, we have Evangeline Lilly and Josh Holloway both in this issue together talking about, you know, the relationship between those characters on the show, which is a fantastic scoop. But we also have something very, very special related to the mythology of the show. Everybody remembers back in season 2 when Locke got trapped under the blast door and saw that really strange map, the UV map. Well, we've got that map as a pull-out section in the magazine, and it's incredible. You can read all of the scrawlings around the map, and you can stick it on your wall and study it, and maybe you'll find some clues actually on that map related to things happening in the show right now.
Is it poster size?
Yeah, it's a poster size. So you pull it out from the magazine and you can read everything extremely clearly. And as I say, there may be some clues about things coming up on the show. So you don't want to miss this one. This is a really good one. It's a good exclusive.
I think that's a good place to end it. That's about all the time we have for on the podcast section right now. Again, we've been with Paul Terry, the editor of the official Lost magazine.
Thanks so much, Chris.
That brings us to the end of this podcast. We'll leave you with this clip from next week's episode, Enter 77. That episode airs Wednesday, March 7th from 10 to 11 p.m. on ABC and can be found the next day at abc.com.
Are you sure it's completely isolated?
I've circled the house. There's nothing but jungle surrounding it.
Yeah. That dish still work?
Satellite dish of that size would have broadcasting capabilities thousands of miles. Danielle, you once mentioned a radio tower. Is this it?
I have never been here before.
The man in the house, you said you've seen him before?
On a video feed from the Pearl Station.
So who is he?
Only one way to find out. We ask him.
What's this for?
If I'm unarmed, you won't feel threatened. In case he is threatened, then cover me from here.
Where are you going? I have no interest in that man inside the house. I have survived on the island precisely by avoiding these types of encounters. I'll wait for you by the stream. For those of you who survive.
This is for Mac McKinney. Mac, your chance has passed to play professional ball, but you can live vicariously through Vince Young's rookie year. You've obviously seen how he plays. Now see how he lives with AT&T Home Turf. Just go online to attblueroom.com/sports for exclusive access into your favorite athletes' worlds. See inside Vince's home and check out the AT&T technology that keeps him connected. So that's Mac's world. For everyone who's not Mac, if we can deliver his favorite quarterback to him, we've got what it takes to deliver your favorite athletes to you. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.